I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio 98.5 in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Arash is not with us today. He is in Indianapolis for the All-Star Game, or yesterday, rather. And the All-Star Game is on Sunday, and it's just Grammota and Brandon Deutsch here today to walk you through some sports stories and give you a good listening experience. Grant, how's everything going with you?
Yeah, it's great because the Clippers got a win going into the break. So, and hey, look, your Lakers are doing good too. So I think we're all right going into the break.
We're all right. Before we get into that, I do want to note something about Caitlin Clark, because what she's doing in women's college basketball is just incredible. I mean, some of the threes she's making and the shots she's making, so difficult. I don't know how many people in the NBA that can make those shots. Like, that's how crazy. And I know it sounds crazy to say that, and a lot of people may be displeased by that notion, but there's a serious argument that, you know, she can shoot the ball up there with a few NBA players. That's how good she is. And, you know, she's dominating the game. Broke that record last night.
Yeah. Look, for Caitlin Clark, I really think that she could play in the NBA. Like, I'm being dead serious when I say that. Like, her range is unbelievable. The fact that she got her 49 points the way she did, like, she was pulling up from the logo. Like you said, there are NBA players that can't even do that. Like, there are some NBA players that don't even have the three-point range, let alone pulling up from the logo. For her to pull up from the logo to get the record is, like, insane behavior. But it just tells you, like, if you watch her on a day-to-day basis or on a game-to-game basis, that's what you're going to see from her. Like, a lot of people are shocked, but if you actually watch a lot of her games, that's just how she plays. They try to get her the ball every single play, it feels like. And for her to put 49 in a game that can get you a record, I mean, yeah, kudos to her. She's been electric, and I cannot wait to see her in the WNBA. She's going to change the WNBA. Watch.
She's already changed college basketball. Yeah. I mean, she's made a lot of viewers that I think wouldn't normally watch women's college basketball for whatever notion there is. I think she's brought a whole new audience. I mean, there's people that are really excited about what she's doing, and that's indicative of, you know, the population, the people that went out to watch her break the record. And obviously when they went to play in Nebraska, they sold that out. They went to play at the at the football stadium, they sold that out, right? Larry, about, you know, I think it was the football stadium earlier on, there was some showcase. And at the end of the day, it's like, she's completely changed the game. I mean, women's college basketball, women's like basketball couldn't be in a better place with the way, right, you know, Wilson's playing in the NBA, and obviously Breonna Stewart, all those guys, you know, Kelsey Plum, all Candace Still, Parker, the GOAT, but just like Juju Watkins, who's a freshman, by the way, not even eligible for a few years, but, you know, Caitlin Clark, I mean, Cameron Brink, Paige Buchers is so good too. There's so many females that are just, I was going to say guys, because I'm so used to talking about men's basketball. So many women that are just so good at the sport right now that we're kind of seeing, I feel like for women's basketball, this is like the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan kind of era for them. Like, this is the superstar era for them, and it's going to be great and expanding the game. Speaking of expanding the game, the Clippers, can they expand their history this season, Grant? I mean, it's looking like this is a team where it's title or bust. I know it's been that way, but it seems legitimately, it's always if they stay healthy, if they stay. Well, they haven't. And it seems like, I can say this, I really think this team's going to stay healthy for the playoffs. I really do. I because of what I said earlier on in the year where I said they need to play all the regular season. I know Kawhi's banged up a little bit, but that's good. He needs it now. Play through it. Come back in a few games. Like Anthony Edwards, did you remember he almost broke his leg before the playoffs last year? He played through it, and he had 40 in the playoffs against the Nuggets and got him a game. So I really think it's the Clippers' year to really go at least the second round, probably the Western Conference Finals. I know they have James Harden, his past playoff performances, but we've talked about how he doesn't have to do as much on this team. Norman Powell, 47% from three. I read a stat today, by the way, before I let you go. And the audience will love to hear this. It's Steph Curry and Norman Powell, most three-pointers this month. Yep. Crazy. Norman Powell is second in three-pointers this month, yep, and three-point percentage. On the year, he's 46% from three. With how many attempts he's shooting per game, that's insane. Part of that is James Harden, obviously, taking this offense to a whole nother level, getting him open shots, Kawhi and George being healthy so they can take pressure off of them. This is a dangerous team. Talk about your Clippers.
Yeah, they had an awesome win against Golden State where it looked like they were not even going to come close to a victory. They snatched it from the Warriors when Steph Curry was going ballistic, which is something that if I were to tell you that, 8 years ago against the actual Warriors with Kevin Durant, I think that you would probably chalk it up as a loss. But that just goes to show like what kind of team this Clippers team is, right? Like you could have guys be off. You could have Paul George foul out midway through the fourth quarter. You could have Kawhi Leonard not play for the entire game and still pull out a victory because James Harden is that kind of guy, right? This is the whole reason why they got James Harden, is for when two of their top stars are out, whether it be Paul George, Kawhi, one, either of the two, or Russell Westbrook. If anybody's out, James Harden can be a guy that can step up. They needed one more guy, I think. And James Harden was, I mean, he was what, 28, 8 and 6 or 8 and 7 last, against the Warriors. I mean, that's the kind of performances you're going to need out of him right now. But when you get to the playoffs, Brandon, like you said, there are shortcomings for James Harden in the playoffs. If there are any guys hurt, if the stars are hurt at all, James Harden can fill a role. He can fill that void, but he doesn't need to be if everyone's healthy. He can be the third option, which is why they're thriving right now, is because you don't need James Harden to be that guy that he was in Philadelphia or the guy that he was for Houston. He can just be a third option and facilitate and pass. The Clippers, they have the least amount of losses going into the All-Star break in their franchise history, which is remarkable. They are 1.5 games back of the one seed. They could have had the one seed, but they got blown out by the Timberwolves. This is probably the best and most talented team they've had in their franchise history going into the All-Star break. But Brandon, you mentioned it, like it's not about what they do right now. It's about what they do in April, and it's about how they look in April. It's like what their roster is going to be, their active roster in the first round. Like we just don't know. There's so many unknowns. Like people are already putting teams in the Western Conference Finals and having their top four teams. It's like we have so much basketball left to play that and I've seen enough from the Clippers to know that if they're healthy, they're going to be good. But that's the thing. I don't know if they're going to be healthy. Like, nobody knows about anybody. Like, there could be an injury on any of the top eight teams in the West and East, and we just don't know yet. So I don't really like to make generalizations and predictions right now because, yeah, you kind of know how teams are playing and you kind of know the direction they're going in. But in a Clippers instance, we can't make any predictions right now because you don't know who's going to go down. You don't know who's going to be available. So
I think a point we have to bring up, and it would be foolish to not bring it up, is how teams view the regular season versus the playoffs. And I'll give the Heat and the Lakers primary examples of that versus the Grizzlies and the Bucks last season. I mean, the Bucks looked so dominant all year. Their defensive rating was first. Reminds me of another number one seed entering the All-Star break that I think is going to have a first round choke in the Timberwolves. Their defensive rating was first, and we all thought, oh, Milwaukee, maybe it's their year. Maybe they come back and they lose to Miami, who coasted the whole year, was in the play-in tournament, and found a way. Lakers coasted the whole year till the very end. We're like, okay, now we have to go win some games, similar to what they did in the IST. They went on a little run toward the end of the year to get in the play and to secure their spot. And then it was like, okay, balls rolling, dominated the Grizzlies. Balls rolling, yeah. Dominated the Warriors. And obviously the Nuggets were by far the Nuggets in that series against the Lakers was probably the best offensive series besides maybe Durant's Warriors and Curry's Warriors that I've ever seen. Like, it was insane the way they shot the ball. I think it was like 60% from three, something close to that. But my point here is, people before that didn't think the Lakers were entering the play, like, going to be, you know, people were picking the Grizzlies. People were like, oh, if they had Steven Adams, they would have dominated them. If they're making excuses after. People picked the Warriors. People picked the Kings over the Warriors. The Kings looked great all year. Experience matters, okay? The Clippers do have some experience on that roster. That is going to help them. Harden has at least played in pivotal playoff games. He led the 76ers without Embiid to a win last year. I'll give him credit. Surprised me. Two wins, because I hadn't seen it in so long, because he's known as this playoff choker. And the year he was with Houston was crazy too. Now, before we go into this, I want to read you the standings here, because this is another point. Golden State's been on a crazy run, 8 of their last 11 games. Lakers, 6 of their last 7 ever since Rui was in the starting lineup. And they're the 10-9 seed. They're on a roll. That's the 9-10 seed right there. Okay. Above them, you got the Kings, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Suns, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Timberwolves. The Clippers have the 3 seed entering the break. So I want you to tell me right now, out of those two teams, and I'll go after you, who do you think are the weak link? Because I can't say the Lakers aren't going to make it out of the play-in right now. I can't say even the Warriors confidently aren't going to make it out of the play-in. Like, I think the Lakers are for sure going to make it out of the play-in the way they're playing if they continue this. And the Warriors, probably too. So which are the two odd teams out?
Yeah, oh, this is so tough. Well, look, it's just surprising to me that the Mavericks are on a 5-game winning streak, 6, I think, even, and they're still the 7 seed. That just tells you, like, how excellent this Western Conference is. It's not just the West. The East is pretty good, too. But the West, I'm always going to pick the Lakers if AD and LeBron are healthy. I've been saying this since 2021. Like, I don't care what their seeding is when they get in. If they are in the play-in, I'm probably going to take them to win the play-in. Like, it's just, and I know that they'll probably, I'm not going to say probably, because maybe the Pelicans fall to 7. I think that's eventually what's going to happen. If the Lakers play the Mavericks and Luka, Brandon, you know what Luka does to teams come April and May. Like, they due to the Clippers.
He turns into Michael Jordan.
Exactly. So that's probably the only team I'd say could give the Warriors and the Lakers a tough time. But like you said before, experience matters. And LeBron and AD have been in the play. They were in the play-in last year. They kind of know how that works. They're in it in 2021. They know how it works then. And they're proven champions. These guys know how to win. They got to the conference finals last year as a 7 seed. Same with the Heat in the other conference. Like, they just, like you said before, they know how to win when it matters. So even if they're 10th, if the Lakers fall to 10th, if the Warriors are 9th or 10th, I'm still probably going to have them as an advantage over any other team, just because I've seen Steph Curry go nuclear and I've seen the Lakers go nuclear. So I still expect them to get out of the play-in. I think the Lakers might have an outside chance to get a 6 seed, honestly, because I know the Mavericks are playing well. I think the Lakers are, 3 games out of the 6 seed? So it's not out of the possibility that the Lakers can get out of the play-in. It's just, like I said, there's so much basketball left. And the way the Lakers are playing right now, Brandon, I could easily see them getting a 6 seed, because I've seen the Mavericks go on 4-game losing streaks. I know they just improved their roster at the deadline, but I've seen some of the teams above them go into losing streaks, and I've seen the Warriors go into slumps too. I know they're playing good basketball and they beat the Jazz last night going into the break, but if I have a healthy Steph Curry, if I have a healthy LeBron, a healthy Anthony Davis, who Anthony Davis is playing at an MVP level, if they were the 4 or 5 seed, I could see him being in the MVP conversation. That's how good he's been. If I have any of those guys healthy, obviously I'm going to pick them over a Pelicans team that we know choked in the in-season tournament, and they usually don't do well in big games. Like, we just know that from the Pelicans just by watching. Even last year, I think they lost to the Thunder, right? In the play-in or something like that. So I'm going to take the teams with experience. Yeah, I'm going to take the teams with the experience in the play-in. I just am. Now, after that, obviously, it's a toss-up because you're going to be playing a higher seed. But the Lakers match up against the Timberwolves. They match up against the Thunder. Even if they match up against the Clippers, the Lakers have given the Clippers fits this year. You know that. So I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there.
And not just that. I mean, the Lakers look like a completely different team. And I've said this the whole year. Like, once they start playing the right guys, this is a good roster. Everyone is always like, there's a point in every LeBron team, best off season. Oh, this roster sucks. And then once they start playing well again, oh, this roster is pretty good. Like, we knew how good Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura are. We knew how good D'Angelo Russell could be once we saw him over the last month. He didn't look like this the first half. No. He was abysmal. I mean, he was trade worthy. And anybody who says, oh, I never wanted to trade D'Angelo Russell, you're a liar, because his contract was very tradable. And at the time, he was not playing good basketball. Yeah. He starts going on this run, and he's still on this run for like 2 months. And Reeves is starting playing, Rui's playing, and then Torian Prince, who knew, great off of the bench. Yeah. Just take a genius to figure out. I mean, a guy who shoots 39% from three and doesn't play much defense right now. He tries, but not a great defender. You play him off the bench, he's good. And they don't even have Vincent. They don't have Vanderbilt. That should scare teams right now. I mean, the Lakers match up. Even Dinwiddie's
playing good.
Yeah, well, Dinwiddie's always been good. Playing people okay. Are just haters. But you got to understand, people are just haters. Dinwiddie has been good for a very long time. Like, he was great
for the Mavericks in 22 when they got to the conference finals. He was one of their best players. Like,
his defense was excellent. And I know his defense has been up and down this year, but he'll find that on the Lakers. I'll give Darvin Ham credit. And I really, you know, my thoughts on him, I stood up for him when, you know, Jake was the first person to say, oh, okay, you know, he deserves to be fired. And then I was kind of in on it, like, okay, why isn't he playing these guys? But the defenses he implements a lot of times are very good. It starts with Anthony Davis. And I wanted to bring this up because Rudy Gobert is -650 on sportsbooks. Consensus heavy favorite. Like, it's the award's already been given. Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year. And I get they're number one in defense. But Anthony Davis is the best defender in the NBA. I've been saying this for a long time, top to bottom. He's been the best defender in the NBA for about six or seven years. And he has no Defensive Player of the Years, no MVPs, of course, because health was the main thing. I think this is going to go, like, when it's all said and done, Davis, people will look at the accolades and be like, no Defensive Player. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, Michael Jordan had 4 Defensive Player of the Years, and Anthony Davis, in my opinion, is better defender than Michael Jordan. As crazy as that sounds, like, I think he just does. He is more versatile. He's a different player. Like, Jordan was just, like, you know, he was a hawk on defense, on ball defender. Davis is just, it causes havoc all over the floor.
Yeah.
To me, it's ridiculous. I think Davis and Wembanyama should probably be the favorites right now, in my opinion. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, though. I mean, Wembanyama just had 10 blocks in a game. It's crazy. It's not just that, but, like, I feel like we get too attached to stats to where it's like, if I watch Victor Wembanyama and Anthony Davis play, there's a certain fear that is instilled into the opposing player. Like, when Rudy Gobert is in the paint or when they draw him away from the paint, I feel like teams try to attack him. Teams do not try to attack Anthony Davis and Victor Wembanyama. They go as far away as possible from him, and from both of them, actually. And honestly, Anthony Davis should have won Defensive Player of the Year in 2020, the year that they won the finals, but Giannis won it for some reason over him. Anthony Davis.
They were giving Giannis everything at that point.
Yeah, I mean, for him to have 0 Defensive Player of the Years is kind of ridiculous. Brandon, I saw, this was again the Pistons game against the Lakers. It was a 3-on-1. The Pistons had a 3-on-1 on a fast break, and Anthony Davis was the one. They didn't score because Anthony Davis blocked the shot. He thwarted a 3-on-1. That's probably the first time I've seen a single player thwart a 3-on-1 in a long time. And it just shows you what it's not just that he's long and lanky, then he can block shots. He's a very smart defender. He does it without fouling a lot of the time. So for a guy that has that much intimidation, him and Wembanyama, I think I would factor that into my vote if I had a vote for Defensive Player of the Year, because a lot of the players don't think highly of like, there's plenty of players that go right at Gobert, trying to poster him, trying to get past him, putting their body into him. And I just don't see that from Davis and Wembanyama. Like, you can tell me all the stats in the world, but second of all, I've seen Rudy Gobert in the playoffs. You and I have both seen him in the playoffs. There's a reason the Clippers advanced to the first Western Conference Finals in their history in 2021. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see Rudy Gobert in the playoffs this year. Sure, he can have all the regular season awards he wants, but Anthony Davis was excellent in the playoffs last year. You know this.
And that Utah team, they were just like all year first. They were like first in almost both offense and defensive rating, which was like pretty crazy. They were definitely up there first with Quinn Snyder, and they were top 10 defensively because of Gobert. And they were so dominant in the year. And then Terrence Mann just cooks them.
Paul George, Reggie Jackson.
And I know Gobert is not supposed to go on the perimeter and whatever. But at the end of the day, like, they were benching him. They were on the verge of benching him because he has no offensive bag, right? So, like, if he's not playing much defense, what is he in for? He was an impediment to them in that series. Donovan Mitchell was carrying them. So I just want people to remember, like, the frauds are the Timberwolves. I think they're a very well-coached team. I think Chris Finch is excellent. Experience matters. I can't see them beating the Clippers. I can't see them beating the Nuggets, obviously. I mean, they wouldn't even come close. The Lakers, no. I mean, maybe the Warriors, they do match up really well against the Warriors because, you know,
there's besides
the Looney, I mean, there are certain teams. And the Thunder, the metrics are there too. Top five in both offensive and defensive rating. But you can't tell me a 24, 22, and 21-year-old are going to go and beat Anthony Davis and LeBron James, or are going to go beat Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and James Harden, are even going to go beat Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Yeah. Like, they're not going to. I'm sorry. I don't care how good they are on paper. That core is still too young. Jordan was too young. People forget Jordan. He lost to the Pistons a bazillion times. Exactly. Yeah. He lost to the Pistons a bazillion times. People forget. LeBron, dude, that team was awful forever. They ruined the first half of his career. People forget this. And at the end of the day, we'll leave it there. When we come back, we'll talk some more on the Arash Markazi Show. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. Sporting Tribune guest hotline. We don't have one today. It's just Grant Mona and Brandon Deutsch here with you. Arash is in... He's in Indiana. I mean, this is going to be a really good all-star game, probably. I like the East-West format that it's coming back to. I say this is going to be a very good all-star game. I'm trying to promote it, and it's just, I can't even believe what I'm saying. I can't believe, like, I can't actually tell you guys to go watch it when I know it's going to be a bad product. It's probably going to be a bad product, but just being real, I mean, that's kind of what it's come to. I probably won't watch it. Grant,
can I ask you a
Saturday
question?
Night.
Can I ask you a question? Why does making it East versus West make it more competitive? Why did Adam Silver think that making it East versus West is going to give them more incentive to play?
What they did with the MLB, where the winner of East West gets Game 7 of the finals. That's what they should do.
Because
and then people treat it like a real game. I get no one wants to get hurt, but come on, dude.
But why is the team captain version, where you get to a certain point threshold, I feel like that gives the players more incentive. If we're just going a standard NBA game, East versus West, I feel like they're going to give less effort because it means nothing.
I thought they were still doing the point thing, like 140, just east-west. Maybe they are.
But what is it, like, why does that change? Like, who cares about east versus west? Like, nobody really cares. Yeah,
there's no pride with it. I mean, like, dude, like, nowadays,
seriously,
people are
just need to know. I need to know.
Unless it's Draymond, like, everyone's saying what's up to their rival right after the game. You know, there's no rivalries anymore.
But yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
There's no east versus west rivalry. Like, I guess Celtics-Lakers, but LeBron and AD are
with Jason Tatum. Yeah, exactly. So it makes
sense. So like, there's no rivalries. You know? So why does Adam Silver think that changing it to the old format is going to make players play harder? That's not going to change it.
I think he did it just for historic purposes because you saw Iverson in like the East. You know, you saw Shaq in the West. You saw like Michael Jordan in the East. You know, you saw like. What they should do is they should all wear their real jerseys.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic. Oh.
Like what they did, they used to do that? Like,
yes.
When Michael Jordan was in the game, when Kobe was wearing 8 in his first All-Star game.
It's a money grab thing, though.
I know. It's like people want to sell the jerseys of East-West. I'm sorry, if you're buying the East-West jersey, please, I can tell you better places to go spend your money than buying an East-West LeBron jersey or, you know, Kevin Durant.
The thing is for me, is that this is probably like I am still going to watch every single event because I love the game of basketball and I love seeing the best players play on great stages. But there's still no incentive for the players. Like it's still not like this is probably the least excited I am to watch the All-Star weekend just because last year I was kind of hyped about it and the players put forth some of the worst effort I've ever seen in an All-Star game. So yeah. I don't see how East versus West changes it. I love it from a nostalgic aspect, from a like this is how it was when I was a kid, and I'm more excited about a 3-point contest than the dunk contest. That should never happen. I'm sorry, and I know that the league's shifting towards a 3-point type league, but the fact that we have two G leaguers in the dunk contest should never happen. I'm so.
But Mac is so he's so good though.
No, listen, I understand. I love Mac McClung. I love Mac McClung. But we have to get stars back in the dunk contest. We just have to, man. And I'm not even saying like the top stars. Just imagine Malik Monk in the dunk contest. Like that.
Well, dude, that's like
what I'm asking for.
Like back in the day, it was Nate Robinson, right? Like Nate Robinson was a solid role player. And then you put him in the dunk contest. And
Dominique.
Yeah. But that dude, they're never going to get back to that. Jaylen Brown thinks he's Michael Jordan trying to do it now. He's like, I'm the guy who's going to do it.
Yeah, there's this narrative like, oh, we finally have a superstar. It's like nobody cares about Jaylen Brown dunking right now. We want Zion.
People care.
We want Ja.
Yeah.
We want high flyers. Even Obi Toppin. Yeah. I'll take Obi Toppin. I know his brother's in that, but like, come on. Give me something to get excited about.
Wouldn't that be great? They need to tell Ja to if he hasn't had surgery already, get it right now so he can go and be in the dunk contest tomorrow. No, I'm kidding. But next year they should really do Zion, Ja.
Just give me the best.
Shaden Sharp. Give me Shaden Sharp, Ja, Zion. Like, let's build the perfect four. I think those three would be pretty, fantastic, like, young talent. And who's the fourth?
Kuminga,
yeah, that's who I would pick, too. Young guys. Look, and that's two superstars and then two up-and-coming players, right, that are really good.
Why do you think
it's
just...
That would bring eyes to the game.
Do you think it's just, like, the players just not wanting to get hurt. Like, I don't see what the incentive to not do it is for the players. Like, I just, like, if I'm a player, I would want to dominate. No, embarrassment. Like, nobody's going to remember the dunk contest in another year.
Maybe they want to just visit their family for a few days.
I guess.
I mean, it is a grueling season. I mean, you know, it's like imagine you being at, let's imagine us being at a 9-to-5. Like, but it's a 12-to-12, but you're on the road, you're working.
Yeah.
It's basically like George Clooney in that Flight movie or whatever, you know, up in the air or whatever. He's traveling nonstop, working. And so that's kind of how it is. He just can't go home. So I think part of it is, you know, if they're younger, maybe they want to party there, or if they want to go visit their family, they can do that too. and they don't want to be preparing. I mean, it's a preparation. These guys probably had to start preparing before this weekend, right? Like they were, how hard can it be? I get it. But Mac McGlone's probably been preparing for this since the dunk contest.
He's an excellent basketball player too. Like he's not.
Oh, he is, but it gets overlooked. He never gets an opportunity because he's 6 feet tall. People are like, "Oh, he's 6 feet tall. He put up a triple double in the last game
of the season last year."
Well, he's also, by the way, like 6 assists a game in the G League, like 20 plus points. Like he's just a really good player. You're telling me he can't be on the 76ers right now?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, well, the 76ers, I mean, I like Daryl Morey, but come on, bro. Like, why are you trading Jaden Springer
for a bag of chips? You're going to tell me that he can't play on the Detroit Pistons right now? Like, you're going to really tell me that with a straight face? Like, come on, man.
He's better than Killian Hayes. A lot of it is politics. I mean, this happens in life, but in sports, too. If you're a higher draft pick, you're going to get more opportunities like Killian Hayes. We've known Killian Hayes has not been good at basketball for a long time. I said it when he was drafted that he was Dante Exum 2.0. Turns out he was 10 times worse than Dante Exum. Dante Exum is actually a decent role player now. You know, he's actually turned into a decent NBA player. But at the end, I remember when the Lakers were trying to get him. And then remember they really wanted him that one draft. And I was just like, no, please don't take this guy. Trust me, I'm old enough to remember now at this point how they wanted that kid from Arizona. What was his name? The number 2 overall pick, the power forward who sucked in the league.
Derek Williams?
Yes. Remember they wanted to give up everything for Derek Williams at two? And it was like, I remember, dude, thank gosh the Lakers are not in those days. I was just thinking of guys. By the way, at dunk didn't he participate in the dunk contest at one point?
Yeah.
Like, I think he did. I mean, he was a good dunker. He was a great dunker. Another guy gets overlooked is like guys like that era, like Thomas Robinson. Like, remember he was supposed to be so good, and he's a solid, like, great European player. He was decent in the NBA. Great career at Kansas, but I just am remembering random guys from that time. Like Thomas Robinson was so good at Kansas. Do you remember that? Like Thomas Robinson was so good at Kansas.
There are so many players that I can remember from dunk contests that are like high status names. Like if you were to tell me who was in the dunk contest 3 years ago or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I'd be like, I have no idea who you, like, I can't.
John Wall, gun to my, like, I can't, Paul George.
That was way back in the day. That was, I'm talking about like the last 5 years. I could not even recall what type of dunks there
Cassius
were.
Stanley.
I don't know who was in it. Like, I know Mac McClung won last year, but there are no memorable dunks.
The last good one was Levine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mac McClung's was great. I liked the dunk contest last year because McClung put on a show. Yeah. But realistically, like, the last real dunk contest, like, with, like, NBA play, like, nothing against Mac because I do think he should be in the NBA. And it's not his fault that he's the best dunker of these guys. Yeah. Like, he's great, and it's a good show for him. But, the last real dunk contest I can remember that was super entertaining was Levine Gordon, right? Like, that was, like, the last
two guys that were kind of, like, young studs, young stars, like, ascending in the league. Exactly.
It's like, for some reason, and this is no offense to these guys, but is anybody going to know who Jacob Toppin is in 15 years? Is anyone going to remember his dunk contest? Well, maybe he becomes a great player. I'm just saying right now, why is that the guy you're choosing? You're telling me Jonathan Kuminga declined an opportunity to go to the dunk contest. I can't believe that. I can't believe he would decline that with, you know, the way he's playing right now. He probably would want to be a part of All-Star Weekend. Huh. You're telling me you can't ask, like, Jason Tatum to even do it? I know it probably wouldn't
Here's the thing. You already have so many guys at the Rising Stars game the day before. I can handpick like 4 guys from the Rising Stars game that I would love to see in the dunk contest. They're already in Indianapolis. You don't have to convince them to go to the dunk contest. They're already there.
Who are the 4 that you would Jaden Ivey, maybe?
Jaden Ivey? Like, I mean, shoot, you could go down the list.
Who else is there? No, that's an interesting thing because I don't know why they don't do that. Like, they don't even need to prepare, bro. These guys are so good at dunking.
Paolo? Paolo's playing in the All-Star game, Paolo. But still. Like,
is he playing in both?
Yeah, I think he is. I don't know if he'll play, but he's on the team.
Wemby?
Yeah.
Can Victor Wembanyama?
Why can't Wemby?
That would be a crazy dunk contest. Do you know how
great the ratings would be if Wemby participated in the dunk contest?
And Brandon Miller?
Yes.
And Scoot Henderson, just all dude, three, the top three picks, and just like, let's like, see. And then like Scoot's talking, oh, you know, his gosh. Talk, like, I've had a bad year, but I'm going to prove that I'm a dunk champion. Like, Cam the narratives Whitmore? Are just, Cam Whitmore? Yeah, I mean, dude, Jabari Smith Jr. can even dunk, like, put him in it.
Jalen Hood-Shafino? Well,
it'd be funny to see Brandon Podziemski be in it, though, to be honest. No,
well,
poor guy. He's such a great basketball player.
Jaime Hawkins is in it.
He can get up. But Scoot Henderson's there. Scoot Henderson, yeah, Ivy, Brandon Miller, Victor Wembanyama.
Dude, there's so many great guys that are already there that you could just say, hey, why don't you just show up tomorrow and we'll put on a show? No, I guess not. I guess that's too smart.
Dude, Keontae George can even dunk. Put Jordan, right, like, right. Put him in there. Like, dude, like, yeah, I mean, dude, all these, I mean, they're in the NBA. All these guys can dunk. Even Steph Curry's got, like, mad hops people forget about, you know. But at the end of the day, like, those guys are already there. All right, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the Dodgers, because baseball is coming up. Dodgers have a big year ahead of them. Pitchers and catchers reported. Half the free agents, the big names, haven't signed, which, by the way, is something they need. Manfred's already said this. They need a deadline for free agent signings. Come on. It's just ridiculous that guys can just sit out, you know, come back and just, like, they're not going to be prepared to play. Like, straight up, like, you think Cody Bellinger is going to be right away 350 or like hitting close to 250 even wherever he signs? Like, to me, that's ridiculous. But by the way, the Dodgers, obviously the big winners, regardless of whatever happens in free agency, they were the big winners if they just signed Ohtani. They signed Yamamoto too. And they created a monopoly on these Japanese players where they'll get Sasaki as well within, you know, whenever they're going to get Sasaki too. So they're going to have like a whole Japanese rotation and it's going to make them a ton of money because look at all the Japanese sponsorships, which is why Artie Moreno kept Shohei Ohtani. He wanted to make, you know, money for the second half of the season, which I think is relatively selfish. Having covered the team and knowing how much those guys really want to win, like give them a real opportunity to rebuild. They would have been in a much better position if they got some guys for Shohei at the deadline, because Shohei was never going to stay for the fact of the matter. But that's a whole separate conversation. The Dodgers, though, my dad says it like this. I guaranteed not a World Series champion because you have Muncy at third base. But at the end of the day, you never know. Because I agree, though, they need to get a competent player. Muncy's the most overrated player, I think, in the MLB. I think he's worthless, pretty much, almost, as an MLB player. Now, I'm not saying he's better than me. He's not worthless as a person. As a baseball player, you can't be hitting under 200 in the bigs. I don't care how much you get on base from walks.
Home runs? You're striking out. RBIs? Like, no?
I don't care. He also is a horrendous defender. That's going to come to bite them. I'm telling you right now, Grant, my dad said the same thing. That is going to come. I've said it for years. They need a competent third baseman. Why they let Turner walk? Like, Turner was great for Boston last year. Turner is still.
I completely agree with you.
I mean, like, dude, Turner is not even expensive. Why is he not a Dodger? Why didn't he remain a Dodger? He's not expensive. He's old. And when you're old, even though he's productive, he's still, like, when you're older, you get discounts on those players. Like JD Martinez last year. Yeah. Like, he got older, they got a discount, and he was excellent. And he hasn't even signed, has he? Did he sign anywhere?
I think he did, didn't he? Well, there's rumors about him going to Arizona.
You're right? Sure. Arizona is like the place he's been linked to. I would like to see him on the Angels.
Yeah, I would too, to fill that spot. I mean, why not? If you can get him on a good contract, like, why not?
Dude, he's only going to be
he's still
million.
A free agent, which is, you know what? Here's the thing I wanted to say about. I know we're talking about the Dodgers, but I needed to say this. The fact that there are so many great players right now that are still unsigned is unbelievable. It should never happen. This should, like, Matt Chapman is still a free agent and he's an excellent third baseman. Blake Snell won the freaking Cy Young and he is still a free agent. Jordan Montgomery is the World Series champion, a crucial part of the Rangers World Series. He's still a free agent.
He hasn't re-signed with the Rangers yet?
No. Cody Bellinger was a comeback player of the year, and he is a free agent. I do not understand how this can happen. We have, like, Rob Manfred, I don't agree with a lot of things that he says, but I agree here. there needs to be a signing period. There needs to be a deadline for when you can sign it. If you don't, sorry, see it, sayonara, go to Korea, go to Taiwan, go to the Mexican league. You can't play in the MLB.
Which are great leagues to play in, by the way.
They are. I mean,
those are very competitive leagues, saying. And they love American players.
But you can't play here. They need to implement something like that, because the fact that we're almost going to start spring training games and guys are not even signed to a club. Some of the top players in our game, by the way, I'm not just saying like guys that are fringe guys that'll be, in the eighth or ninth in the batting order. These are all-star caliber award-winning talents that are still free agents. Now, I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's the agents. I don't know if it's the players asking for too much. I don't know if it's the clubs. I'm not really sure. But we can't have this anymore. This is 2 or 3 years in a row that this has happened. And I know one of them was because of the CBA, but still. It can't go this late into the free agency period and have none of those guys signed. That's number one. Second of all, the Dodgers, yes, they got all these guys. And like you said about Muncy, I am not going to believe it. Of course, I'm very excited. I'm very hyped about the Dodgers. This is the most excited I've been for a season. But I am not making any assumptions. I am not making any predictions. I am not doing any takes that for the outcome of their season until October. I've learned my lesson, Brandon. And I have said many great things about the Dodgers throughout regular seasons about, oh, they're going to beat the Astros in the World Series this year. Oh, they're going to beat this team in the World Series. Oh, I see them going to the NLCS. They've just given me no confidence over the past 2 years that they're going to do something different. And until I see it, like we always say with the Clippers, I haven't seen it yet. So why would I believe it again? We always make these assumptions about the Dodgers. I know that they're going to have a great roster. I get it. They're going to have an excellent roster, the best in their history, probably. They haven't played a single game yet. So I'm not going to say that they're going to win the World Series. I'm not going to say that it's Dodgers-Yankees, because every year we say it's Dodgers-Yankees, and then it's the Astros and some other
team. Yankees get out of the ALDS, bro.
Well, the Yankees need a lot of pitching, but I'm just saying that kind of assumption and those kinds of labels, I'm just done making them. I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to make myself sound.
There's always a team that no one picks that gets really far in baseball, especially because baseball is a team where a sport where if you're a wild card team, like you have a chance. Like in football, to a way lesser extent. Like the Niners that won a few years ago got to the NFC Championship against the Rams as a wild card team. But it was a good year for you. but it rarely happens. Like the last 2 years in the NFC, the one seed has gone to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, the Chiefs were a 3 seed, but they have Patrick Mahomes. And the year before, they were the 1 seed, right? And they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? Weren't they the 1 seed? Yeah. So for me, it's like we know it's a long, we got a long ways before the regular season starts. But I know a lot of Dodger fans are hyped, but. Kind of like the 49ers, man.
Be
like
humble.
Always choking.
Be humble.
Always choking. So you got, until you see it, you got to be like, I know Dodger fans are not happy about the 2020 ring. Like they want a real ring. They want a real. Absolutely. I'm not disputing that that's a phony ring because it is a legitimate competition ring that happened in a season. It wasn't a full season. You had to play the games and I get it. But I'm telling you, do you even care about that ring? Like, let's be real.
So no, Dodger fans even care about it? 162 game ring. I want one. I'm crazy.
I would too. I think it's disrespectful that they've only won one to the fan base, as good as they've been. But anyways, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Grant, for coming on. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, presented by the Sporting Tribune. We're going to see a lot of Dodgers baseball this year. Angels baseball, I don't know if they're going to get as much coverage without Otani, but they'll have Trout. They'll have a few guys. But we'll leave it there. Enjoy the weekend, everybody, and enjoy the All-Star game.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hustle for the cash, so it's hard to knock it. Everybody got their own thing. Currency
chasing worldwide through the hard times. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.